Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you never leave us nor forsake us, that you are with us this morning, and that you are going to open our minds and our heart to be able, Lord, to appropriate and receive everything you have done for us. Lord, that we may be able to move into the areas of blessings more and more as we walk as your children, as we walk, Lord, as children of God. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for the things you're going to do this morning and the way you're going to guide us into all freedom, because this is what the Holy Spirit does for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, the whole series here is about becoming what we are in our spirit. That means that what is inside us comes on the outside. This is the transformation that is mentioned in Romans chapter 12, the first three verses there. That we may be transformed, okay, by the renewing of our mind, so that we may be able to know the will of God, what is acceptable and good and perfect will of God. So this is what has to happen. And this is something that doesn't happen because you are born again. It happens because you let the Word, you start living the Word, you start allowing the Word to transform you. And the transformation is the same word there is, metamorphosis, the same thing, the same transformation it was used in Jesus when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration and he was, became bright to the sight of the apostles, of the disciples that were there. And that brightness was nothing else than showing what was inside him. When what is inside us is going to be shown, because our body and our soul is not blocking it, then we are going to be having the same type of manifestation. And to the degree in which that takes place, is going to be the degree in which we are set free. Okay? Now, one of the key things, is really the word give us so many scriptures, so many ideas, so many things about for us to understand. But it's not just the understanding that counts. Because some people, maybe have read the whole Bible. They know everything. Theologians, for example, they know, all the details of the Bible. But the thing is, just knowing is not enough. Okay? It's when we start applying it that we actually start understanding it. You start to living it. And so there is a combination there of not just the renewal of the mind is not just learning something new. It's allowing what is inside you to come out. It's allowing that truth to start operating on the mental and physical level. When that takes place, then your mind is being renewed and your body is being submitted to your spirit. So we had to get to that place, and that place is there is a lot of resistance within us because the mind tries to control. The body wants to go the way he wants to go, and that's why we had to submit those things to the Word of God and start applying the Word of God so that we can actually experience what the Word of God says. So there's a component there that we had to play, that we had to do to be fully manifested. And the basis for all this, okay, you can read the scriptures. You can believe there is a God. That's not enough. You have to allow that to live it. You have to apply faith to the Word of God. You have to believe what it says. If the Word says, by stripes you are healed, and you say, oh, yeah, I heard that, the pastor said that 2,000 times. Doesn't do any good. You can even quote it. You can even say, but it doesn't matter if you quote it or not. If you don't believe it, really within yourself, completely, to the extent that you are fully persuaded that that is the truth, it's not going to work. Okay. And so this is the thing, and there are so many things. So many ideas, so many concepts, so many different things that are so much contrary that oppose the Word of God. You know, you can read the Bible and destroy your faith. Because there are things in the Bible that you don't understand, that you apply the wrong way, and you end up messing it up, your beliefs, and you don't know anymore where you're going. You know, many of the, you know, all the people that have been, you know, in the ministry, many people are in the ministry. They get educated by the educational system that they generally have, the colleges and people. Generally, they get so educated into this mental stuff that by the time they finish, they don't believe anything anymore. They don't even believe the Bible. And you can, you know, because the Bible is not an easy book to read. It's not difficult, but it's not easy because you cannot read in on the mental level. The thing is, if you're born again, you know the truth already in your spirit. And the only job, the only thing I had to do is to convey to you what you already know so that your mind accepts what your heart knows. But your mind is going to resist some truth because you have been exposed to teachings and ideas that have been there for a long time that have hindered believers from appropriating what should be theirs. That's really the big problem. That's a big difficulty. And you know, more and more, the enemy, that's exactly what he does on everybody. You see, this is when there is a new truth that comes around. Everybody gets in fire. Everybody gets excited. And God moves supernaturally. And then all the reasoning of man end up killing the whole thing. And so, you know, people go up and then everything goes down the drain. When instead shouldn't be so. We should keep moving on. See, we don't need to stop. We need to keep going. And the more we understand, the more we receive the truth of God, the more freedom we should have and the more power we should have. So this is probably one of the most important topics that we can ever read in the Bible. You know, I always say that the topic of teaching is the most important. But the thing is, everybody says that because at the moment you are focusing on something that, you know, the thing is, all things are connected. See, you can teach about faith, and faith is very important because without faith you cannot please God, because without faith you cannot do anything that is going to be successful. But, you know, if you have faith in the wrong thing, you know, if you don't understand faith properly and you apply it the wrong way, you get nowhere anyway. So you have to apply to the word the ideas in the word, the logos in the word that are right, the one that you should work on, not some of the others. And you have to distinguish, have the discernment to be able to see what, how to understand and how to interpret the word. See, the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. So you can be literally, you see, many of these people that are really fundamentalist in their thinking, and they think just in straight of, you know, what I read is to be, you know, what you read is an expression of something. You have to see the spirit behind what is said there. And if you read things from the Old Testament that are contrary to the things that are said in the New Testament, and there is plenty. Jesus himself corrected these things. You have heard, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. I'll tell you, love your enemies. I mean, there is nothing more diametrically opposed one to the other. So who do you have to do, one or the other? Well, evidently, you have to do what Jesus said because he came to give us the truth and not the other thing. So there are things, some things that you have to actually reject because they're wrong. Because it will get you in trouble. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, if you ignore, if you, you know, some people just read the scripture, and by itself, they make up a theology out of it. You cannot do that. The whole Bible should be harmonized. Everything should work together. When something doesn't work together, it doesn't mean that it's wrong. It means that you have to understand it properly. I think I have to write a book on that, because I haven't seen anything said properly on this. At least some articles or some material. I already have the thing. I didn't know that people had problems so much in this, because I resolved them many years ago. So I'm going to have to write something on this. Can't be just preaching, because I won't produce the result. So anyway, let me start here with the faith component. You see, we saw faith, okay? The idea of faith had been around all the time from the very beginning. But we had to understand faith. And this is probably one of the most confusing things that I saw around in teaching in Christianity. You read 20 different people and they tell you 20 different things. And they don't make any sense because they contradict each other. Well, instead, it's pretty simple. Okay? And it's very important. Because this is the way you're going to get things done. You see, in Hebrews chapter 11, which is talking about the faith hall of fame, you know, talks about how all these people, the Old Testament, operated by faith, and they pleased God, and they got the blessing that God was producing for them, and they, in a way, are, you know, not necessarily everything they did, because there were some things they did that was really wrong. Okay, I mean, when Abraham said that his wife was his sister, which was his sister, but you know, that's cheating. Hello? So it doesn't mean that we had to imitate everything, but we had to imitate their faith, their attitude toward God. That's what we had to imitate. Okay. So we had to understand, you know, that by faith, you know, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, I don't think I shared this last week, and I'm going to I'm going to kind of get a bit back to what I was teaching last week. But I think that's such an important topic that I want to expand it a bit. You know, in verse 3, chapter 11 of Hebrew, says that by faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made by the things that are visible. You know what, you know, understand, word, the word understand is there, is fine, but really doesn't reflect. Because, you know, you don't understand it. It's not, understanding for us is a logical thing. I mean, you know, all the things fit together. You understand that, you know, if somebody hits you, it produces a bump or whatever. But that's not the idea. The understanding that it means literally that you, by faith, you can discern. That's a better interpretation, a better translation. Or can perceive. That the words were framed by the word of God. Because why? Because you see the things that you believe by faith come to pass and become physical before, you know, without any other source. So, you know, you can see by faith we can correlate, see the cause and effect of the results we get because we believe it. Are you following me? Now, but that's not the whole picture. You see, this is only a component. You see, this is saying, you know, this is what the faith is going to help us to do. And what is going to help us to do is really to see the way the Word of God works in our life, so that we perceive that when we believe the Word of God, we can get things that in the physical that are not before in the physical. That's what it's saying. The way God did. That's why we were made like God. We were in the image of God. All right. So, and faith, basically what faith is just trusting God. It's trusting Him. It's not just trusting that you can have enough faith. You just trust God, period. Now, there are lots of implications about that, but, you know, we're not going to specifically teach faith at the moment, but maybe we should some other time. See, so it's by faith that we receive from God the things that He promised. Okay? That they may receive. If they are promised, that means you don't have them. And we bring them to pass. We bring the manifestation of these things. We say, and it's not by works, not by the things we do, but the things we believe. And we often try to think that we are the things that we do. Now, there are some things, evidently, that we have to do. But that's not going to, see, they are the results of our faith. They are not what makes faith work. Okay? So, and so when we go to God to receive, we don't have to go God trying to deserve what we get. Understanding that this way we are, we go to God and we believe simply His word. We stand on His word and we bring it to pass. And this is what pleases Him because we trust Him. Now, okay, when the promises are manifested, then we are going to get the blessing that we need. You see, but to get to that point, we get to have to get to the place where we are fully persuaded. See, if you want to read one of the best chapters on faith is Romans chapter 4. You just read that, meditate on that, and that's going to change the way you see many things. See, this is the way you are going to do. You have to go and, fully become fully persuaded or convinced. That means, that you don't have any qualms and questions or doubts in there destroying what you believe. Because otherwise you're going to be vacillating between the two. And, James said very clearly, when you do that, you get nothing. Why? One moment your faith is in direction, the other moment your belief is in the other direction, and you are just getting nowhere. Okay. You have to get to a place of stability. One of the things that should be manifested in believers is that we should become stable. At the beginning, believers go just like that, emotionally and everything else. I should be to the place in which you can be just always the same. Why? Because your faith is strong and you are not affected by the things around you. That doesn't mean there are things around you are not going to try to affect you. The enemy is going to throw things at you. But you are stable enough to take that position and not to be moved. I shall not be moved. I like that song because I won't believe in that. All right? No matter what comes, we shall not be moved. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So then we had to walk by faith. And that's the thing we had to learn to do. Our life has to be guided and empowered and motivated and, and developed through faith. Now, the things that I shared last week, and I think this is really so important, I have to connect back to that. Because there's so much in this that is, is going to help us to overcome. It's in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, these are all the people in the Old Testament that did things by faith, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, there are three things here that are very important that I want to stress. Number one, that you had to lay aside every weight. See, this is something we had to do. We had to get these things out of the way. If we leave them on us, then they are going to weigh us down and make us tired of proceeding and getting progressing in allowing our faith to produce the result. And we are going to give up before we finish. So we had to lay aside. And it says then, explains what you had to lay aside, especially. Okay. It says every weight, but especially there is one. It says, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. This is not the sin, it's a general word. It's not sin in general. It says, if you could translate properly, the Greek there should be, and that sin. It's a specific sin that we, each person has, that is the things they struggle with, that the Lord is trying to change in their life. And if they don't change it, if they don't give up that things, they're going to backslide. There is one thing. You see, from there, it's like a chain reaction that happens, and you just lose the momentum because that sin is affecting you. And that may not be a big sin. Depending on where you are, maybe something that for other people will not be sin. But if something that God wants to remove from your life, just take it off. That's an act of obedience, and that is going to make all the difference in your life. You say, well, you know, not big deal. Well, no, maybe it's not a big deal for me, but it's a big deal for you. That's what it's saying here. You see, that is so easily ensnare us. Why so easily ensnare us? Because you say, oh, it's not a big deal. If we think it's a big deal, if we think there are big negative consequences, we are not going to get along with it. But if we think, you know, well, you know, that's nothing. God is, but you know, within yourself, you should get rid of it. But you just, you know, that's the beginning. See, this is the way the devil works. See the way, you know, the story about the camel getting into the tent, you know, just put the first foot and then the other thing. And then after, you know, the person in the tent is out and the camel is inside. That's the way the devil works. You know, it doesn't come there and push you, you know, bowl you out. It just slowly sneak you in, and so you are caught up. Then he put the stronghold, and he got the victory. So that's the thing. See, then, you see, we are not easily ensnared by things that are evident. But we are easily ensnared in the things that, this is not bad. That's the thing we have to overcome. Those are the way the devil comes in. Okay? And let us run with endurance the race that was set before us. You see, that's an important thing. You know, endurance means that, you know, you don't get the result right away. You don't get, you know, it's going to take some time before you get the result. So you have to endure, start pushing through the resistance to get the results finished. Okay? Now, how do you get the power, the strength for to do the endurance? Well, just read the following verse. The Bible has always the answers, if you look at the right place. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So stop looking at these things that is an attraction to you, that is you're trying to justify. But for the joy that's set before him, endure the cross, despising the shame. You see, if you look at the situation, you are going to be caught up. You're going to come find out all the excuses. Why is it not a big deal? But you look unto Jesus and you can see, even if there is a cost that is involved for you, you know, you look at the final result. The joy that's set before you, the final result that you're going to get is going to be motivating you to go through the things at the moment that the kind of pulling you in the wrong direction. So that's the way you get the endurance. All the time, you look at Jesus. He just went through what he went through. It was a big thing. That was, you know, in that case, it was not a small thing. I mean, he was separated from the Father. That was more than even being crucified. He just went through that because he knew the result it was going to produce. And I mean, we're not going to read that because you know it already. Are you following me? So this is the focus that we had to have. Not just the cross that we had to go through. We had to go through the joy that comes after the cross. That's what Jesus did. See, lots of people are, you know, the only thing they can talk about, you know, is Jesus' cross and Jesus, you know, and our cross. The thing is, that's not going to motivate us to overcome. What was going to motivate us is what we are going to get after. what he got after. And what we had to do is not stop at the cross, but to see all the impact that he had on us. And that's what we are going to be talking about. This is the whole thing that we are talking about in this series. You know, is what he provided for us, and is not just forgiveness of sins. We are children of God, with all the implication of being children of God. And not just when we are up there. When we are down here, that's what makes the difference. Once we are up there, it's finished. What you did, you did. And you're going to get at the results of what you did. He wants you to do something here because he wants to use you for his kingdom. Okay. It says, you know, the following verse. So our focus is on what is coming, the joy that we are going to get, the results we are going to, you know, but if you don't know the joy, how can you focus on that? Hello? So that's the thing. See, this is what we had to look in the Word to see what is ours, what we have in Christ. To see the fullness of the benefits of what he has done so that really we get motivated and empowered to keep pushing through even the things that sometimes may be difficult at the moment. But they aren't difficult when you got energized by the truth that set you free from the deceit, deception of the enemy. He tries to show you, I'm giving you the world, and you got nothing out. Okay, so Hebrews 12:3 says, for consider him who endures such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. So you see, Jesus went through lots of opposition. You know, he went through hard things, but, you know, he went through that big things that anything we go through ourselves is nothing compared. Okay. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And this is the thing that you have to do. See, that's the West. You know, overcoming temptation is having clear in your mind the impact of sin, an impact of overcoming temptation. When you see the change that's going to make that to you, and you've seen sin, the wages of sin is? Okay. That's good enough, is it? And the result of obedience is life. You want life? Put before you life or death, blessing or cursing. Therefore, choose life, that you and your children may live. And this is really, should be that, that's the motivation. That's the thing that should get us going, overcoming anything the devil throws at you. And you have to, but first of all, you have to know what the devil throws you, and lots of people think that some of the stuff that the devil throws at you is God, you know, putting you things so that you can learn some lessons. When you are so deceived, then don't, you know, if you think that the disease or the sickness you got was God trying to teach you a lesson, don't go to the doctor. Don't try to get healed. I mean, just the lesson first. Doesn't make any sense. I mean, anyway. So, the best way to overcome temptation is really just avoid it to start with. Don't put yourself in the situation in which you are tempted before. No, don't wait until you are tempted. You see, people play around with the devil, and then they think, you know, well, you know, I fell. Well, why did you go there? The devil made me do it. I don't think so. Amen? Amen? Are you following what I'm saying? So, see, realizing what God has done for us is probably the most exciting part. This is really the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is not just to be forgiven. is to become part of the kingdom. The kingdom is near you. Actually, the kingdom is inside you. I mean, when you realize that, and you realize what it means that the kingdom is inside you, and that you can start living in the kingdom right now, not when you go to heaven, and you start experiencing that, I mean, you know, you shouldn't be a problem following what God says to do, because you know that these are the best things that you can do anyway. All right? Okay, so you can see, for example, from Paul's preaching, you know, in Antioch, when he was there in Pisidia, you know, we can read some things there, and we have a few minutes left. All right. Is it? Yeah. In Acts chapter 13, verse 32, "And we declare to you glad tidings, the promise which was made to the fathers. God has fulfilled this for us, their children." So you see, God has already fulfilled the promise. I mean, this is past tense, isn't it? So if it's fulfilled, that means you already have it. So, well, you know, I don't experiencing it. Well, you have to do some work then. I mean, you had to change within yourself. Your attitude and your thinking. You have to, first of all, know that you have it. You know, you can have $1 million in the bank and be poor, you know, on the corner of the street because you don't know that there is a bank account for you. And you go around begging and starving. But when you know it, you can go and claim it. And this is what God wants us to do, claim what is ours, that He has provided for us. Okay, God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that He has raised up Jesus, who also has written in the second Psalm, "You are my son, today I have begotten you. The promise of the Father is the fact that Jesus came, was resurrected, got, you know, resurrection life, and He provided for us everything that He did through His burial, you know, death, burial, and resurrection. All the things that He did, we had to come to realize and say, those are things that He did for me, and I want them, because this is what, otherwise, we make His sacrifice vain. He didn't need to do that for Himself. Jesus didn't need to die on the cross. He died in our place because He wanted to give us something. Now, if we renounce what He gave us, then He wasted His time. That's the worst thing we can do to Him. It's like, you know, I do something for you and I make a real sacrifice and, you know, and then you don't even want it. Or because somebody told you, you know, don't trust Him. That's, you see, how do you think I would feel? All right? Well, how do you think He would feel? I mean, He gave everything. His life, His relationship with God for a short time. All right. See, now, everything that He obtained and was fulfilled, is He has fulfilled for us. So it's done. We're going to see. He said it's finished. We're going to talk about that too. You know, when He did all these things so that we come into receiving what He has done. And we come into receiving that done, number one, to believe Him, and number two, to actually understand it. Because, you know, you can say, I believe God. The devil believes God and trembles. So believing there is a God doesn't make any difference. It's believing what Jesus did that makes a difference. And knowing the relationship you can have with Him. Okay? You see, Jesus was resurrected You see, you are my son, today I have begotten you. That, you know, when he was resurrected, he was received by the Father. And he raised him up from the dead, no more to return to corruption. And he spoke thus, I will give you a sure mercies of David. So this is really the promise. And therefore you also say in another psalm, you will not allow your Holy One to see this corruption. You see, one of the things that Jesus achieved for us is immortality. Now what you say, okay, you know, I'm going to die. You are not going to die, no matter what you say. There is not one place, or not many places anyway, in the Bible that talks about when somebody dies, it's dying. It says, you know, he went asleep. Because from the point of view of God, you're just going to sleep. Okay, the body is dead, but you are alive. And you are not going to die in your body if you do, in your spirit, if you follow Jesus. That's the resurrection that we get. But the fact is that resurrection is transferred also to our body when we are going to achieve the body that God has prepared for us. So actually, his work was to give us eternal life. And eternal life is just also, you know, manifested in your glorified body. Okay? So this is where we are going. This is where we... So, you know, death is nothing. See, that's why the fear of death should be overcome. Because it's just an entrance. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, no corruption. See, that's the thing that we had to accept and receive. And this is what we had to move in. See, the promise was fulfilled by Jesus when he was resurrected to prove that we can be resurrected also in the same way as he did. And he said himself, you know, who believes in me shall never die. I mean, that's, you say, well, you know, lots of people, Christians, die. Well, evidently he wasn't talking about that. Because if they believe in him, shall never die. And he's talking about the spirit will never die. That means, you know, that that's going to be manifested. Sooner or later, it's going to be a manifestation of the same manifestation that Jesus had when he was resurrected. It be not the time yet. Today. Maybe not long for now, but I don't know. But that doesn't matter. See, time counts only for this physical body now that is limited. Okay. So, there are, when it talks about resurrection, Jesus' resurrection, the importance of Jesus' resurrection and so on, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it uses one idea and is repeated a number of times that I really think don't have the time to go in, but I want to just leave it with you. That is very important, I believe. And so in verse 15, in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, verse 1 says, moreover, that means in addition to what he said before, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which is preached, I preach to you, which I also received, and which on which you stand. And this is the good news. I mean, he's preaching the gospel here. He's not giving an altar call. He's preaching the gospel, which is a different thing. Which you also are by which you also you are saved. If you hold fast the word which I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. You know, this is, and the thing I want to stress is unless you believe in vain. So we can believe in vain. He said it very clearly there. What does it mean to believe in vain? I mean, how can you believe in vain? Why no? It says believe. So you actually believe, but your belief is in vain. A belief is in vain when it doesn't produce something in vain, it doesn't produce result. So if you believe but do not produce the results, you believe in vain. Just check the dictionary. I mean, that's what in vain means. Okay? All right? So, but that's very interesting. And he's not saying it not just once, but a number of times in this chapter. Believing in vain. So this is evidently is an important concept that we had to receive and understand. And we don't have the time to go through it today. So you have to come next week. Are you following me? You see, the important thing that we had to appreciate now is that God has a plan. And his plan is not to make us religious, but to achieve the result Jesus came for so that we can appropriate everything that he did. So that mean believing in vain means that you don't appropriate what Jesus did. You believe in Jesus, but nothing happens. Are you following me? So when you believe in Jesus, something should happen. And the thing that he did should start to be manifested in your life. I mean, that deliverance, healing, overcoming temptation, overcoming sin, doing all this stuff, freedom from bondage, not habits, bad habits that are going destroying your life. You should be able to walk free. Who the Son set free is free indeed. Now, when you get, this is the gospel that should get you excited. This is the gospel of the kingdom. You start living as a son of God. Doesn't matter if you're a woman or a man. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The gospel is exciting. See, that's why it's called the gospel. Good news. It's good news for us. It's the best news that you can get. Okay? Hallelujah. All right, we had to close in prayer today, but we'll keep next week. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father. We praise you and thank you, Lord. We just acknowledge your word, and we declare, Lord, what you said. Lord, your word set us free. We declare the gospel, the good news that you gave us, so that we can start to experience the salvation, the deliverance, the healing, the transformation, the empowering, Lord, of the God abilities, Lord, working in our lives, enabling us to be able to walk in victory and not defeat, to walk as children of God and not as children of the devil, to, Lord, be able to give you glory by the things we do, Lord, that lift others up and set others free because of what you are able to do through us. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.